2012. I'm Beth Below, founder of The Introvert Entrepreneur. The Introvert Entrepreneur was founded in 2010 as a personal and professional development company dedicated to providing services to introverts and those who love them. Our goal is to create empowered, productive environments where introverts can flourish. The key to that is understanding and appreciating what it means to be an innie in an outie world. I'm excited to share that we're fast approaching the 2-year anniversary of The Introvert Entrepreneur. You can bet I'm going to celebrate our success and growth, and I hope you'll join me in those celebrations. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur for updates on the virtual festivities that will be happening during the month of May. One of the things I noticed right away when I started my business was that it was much easier to be outgoing and social online than it was in real life. I could do things at my own pace, sit back and watch for a while before jumping in, and I generally felt in control. Contrast that to a live social situation where anything can happen. I could forget someone's name, I could draw a blank when someone asked me a question, or I could spill my drink on a new acquaintance when I went to shake their hand. I've learned over the years that I'm not alone in that anxiety and in that difference. There are lots of introverts who describe themselves as extroverts online and introverts IRL, or in real life. It makes us start to wonder, who am I really? Am I the person that's showing up online, or am I the person that's at the event? The truth is that you're both, unless you're going over the top online and taking on a new voice, brand, or personality. As we know, introverts have extrovert energy in them, just as extroverts have introvert energy. It's just not our default or preference to stay in that extroverted place. Social media and online chatter is easier for us to join in than it is in person. There's a different degree of safety, control, and choice that isn't always present in real life. That allows us to extrovert, and I use extrovert as a verb, more freely and with less energy than it takes to do it at a networking event or party. I became curious about how introverts could leverage the power and relative comfort of social media to form stronger offline relationships. My guest today gives us some insights on how to help us bridge that divide. With 11 plus years of internet marketing experience, Morgan Barnhart started Sociable Boost to help small businesses create social, engaging, and actionable strategies. Morgan is passionate about what she does, and she hopes to instill that same passion into the small businesses that she works with. Hi, Morgan. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. It's a great pleasure to welcome you here to talk to us about social media and shifting relationships from online to in real life. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, when we first connected, you told me that you describe yourself as an introvert in real life and an extrovert online. And since I started focusing on the introvert population, I guess, I've heard that quite a bit. Somebody will say, well, can you be one thing in real life and another online? And that's probably a question that wasn't asked even 5 or 6, 7 years ago. So I'm curious, for you, how do you express yourself differently in those two worlds? And have you found more people like you?
Good question. Well, it's really weird. I feel like I can express myself a little bit better in the writing format, just in general. So being able to connect with people like on Twitter and Facebook and email and all that kind of stuff is really super easy for me. And it's not just the fact that I can, you know, go back and erase or, you know, whatever. It's just that it's one of those things where if I see somebody, you know, and I'm going to engage with them, but they don't engage with me back, it's no big deal. You know, it's not like I'm talking to someone, you know, face-to-face in real life, and I say, hey, I really like your book or whatever, and they just completely ignore me, and then my, you know, confidence is shattered and whatever. So the difference is kind of, I don't know how it even happened, but I've always, you know, been an introvert in real life and then, you know, got my own computer and got online and realized that it's a little easier to talk to people who you're not face-to-face with.
Well, you make a great point when you were saying that if you put yourself out there online and you don't get a response, it's not quite as, we're not quite as vulnerable online as we are in person.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually a really good way to put it. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, your feelings obviously get hurt if you, you know, contact someone and you never get a reply back, you know, especially when it's something you're really passionate about. But it's still not as bad as, you know, actually seeing that person, talking to them in person, you know, being so passionate, and they're getting passionate, you know, have this great conversation back and forth, and then nothing. So it's just, you know, it's a huge difference.
How do you feel like your introversion shows up in real life?
I see it really showing up when I go to networking meetings. And I'm not embarrassed to say this or anything, but when I go to networking meetings, it's one of those things where I kind of just stand there and I wait for that person to come up to me, you know, take pity on me and be like, hey, my name is da-da-da, you know, what do you do? And try to break the ice for me. And it's a really bad habit, something that I really need to break as an entrepreneur, but it's so hard sometimes, and, you know, it's very intimidating, too. So it really, really shows in networking meetings. I get really quiet, and I kind of observe, and I don't talk as much as I should, so...
And I know you're not alone in that one. I know that one. I'm writing a book right now, and I'm on the networking chapter. So it has an entire chapter devoted to this particular topic, because it's an area where we can where we can experience a great deal of discomfort, because it doesn't come as naturally to just approach strangers and say, hi, my name's Morgan. Who are you? You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
We can do it. And it's hard. So have you found what you said about having people approach you? I have a colleague named Val Nelson who's on the East Coast, and she also works with introverts, and she talks a lot about networking, and she has said that she actually uses that as a technique to make herself a little bit more comfortable and to draw people to her. She says, I just stand in one place and let people come to me, because then it sort of preserves my energy a little bit. I'm not having to go out so much, but I'm more bringing people. And the more, you know, I, like, one person comes and then another person will come and then they'll go away and another person will come. So it's a way of looking at something that it could be, you know, like, I'm standing here because I feel awkward, or I'm standing here because I want people to come to me. As opposed to have to go to them.
I did that. I like that.
Yeah, so see, you're doing it already, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And have you encountered other people who you feel like, who have maybe even said, you know, yeah, I'm kind of introverted in person, but when you get me online, I really come to life? And...
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel a lot of people, like, within my niche, you know, within like internet marketing and stuff, are like that. And a good majority of them, not all of them, of course, but I've even met several people in person that have said to me, you know, that have like an actually totally different persona online than in real life. And but for me, it's like, whenever I try to get to know someone online and then I meet them in person, I try to exude that same energy and outgoing, because I've already talked to them online and I already, you know, kind of know them a little bit.
And as you were saying, as an entrepreneur, networking is one of those times when it's you can only go so far online before you have to get out into the real world. And
yeah.
It sounds like you've had to maybe learn how to bridge that online to in real life divide. So how do you use your online savvy to build offline relationships?
Well, it's for me, and this is actually what I encourage a lot of my clients to do as well, to start the conversation online, and to, you know, whether that's through a blog post or a tweet saying, hey, how's it going? I really like your blog, or whatever. Like, once you start that conversation online and start to get to know each other, you can, you know, it's like getting to know someone in real life. There's the only difference is that you're online, you know, you can't see the person face to face, but you're still getting to know them, you know, just the same. And, you know, of course, when you first get to know each other, there's that first little awkwardness. But, you know, when you start talking about the things that you know about each other, like, oh, I love that blog post that you did, or, you know, whatever, you start that engagement all over again offline, but you kind of, you know, already know each other
I often, when I meet somebody that I've only seen online, then I meet them in person, I feel like maybe I already have met them in person, even though I know I haven't, because I've seen their avatar so many times, or I've read their blog posts. And I love what you're saying about taking time to engage with that person in advance by maybe, you know, through Twitter or commenting on their blogs.
Yeah, it can really help. I try not to meet too many people in real life without actually talking to them online first, just because I think it helps us both. You know, we both get to know each other, because there is that avenue of, well, we each have a website and we each have, you know, Twitter or whatever. Why not use those resources to our advantage and, you know, try to get to know that person a little better? Because we have those resources now that we didn't have before. So there's no reason we shouldn't take advantage of it.
Do you have any examples or a story of something that just turned out really well, where you met somebody online and you really clicked, and then you met in person and it turned out to be something that was really highly beneficial for both of you?
Yeah, absolutely. There was someone here in San Antonio in which we wanted to do something. This is actually for a client of mine, but I took the initiative to get in contact and talk to him, you know, in person and stuff like that. But I contacted them and I, you know, got to know them, was engaging back and forth, and, you know, was talking to them about all the things that they could do to help us and how we could help them. And when we finally did get, you know, talk in person, it was just like very casual, very calm. You know, it was just like, oh, I'm so glad you got in touch with me and I love your ideas, da da da. You know, and it was just, it was so much more productive and so much more, you know, relaxing, because we'd already engaged in that conversation and we were able to work with each other for quite a long time because of that.
So what have you found to be the best online tools for actually building a relationship with someone before you might meet them in person?
Well, I like to use, you know, like the standard, you know, Twitter and Facebook and just, you know, email, and I like to go to their blogs and that kind of thing. I like to get as engaged with them through those social media tools first. You know, maybe they haven't found me yet. Well, I'm going to go find them, you know, or whatever, and use those tools to my advantage, because, you know, they're there to help us, you know, engage and communicate with each other and stuff. So I use those to the full advantage.
Any thoughts on Google Plus, and is that a useful platform for kind of connecting and getting to know people?
I personally have not developed a social media strategy with Google Plus. You know, I've been on there occasionally. I go on there maybe once or twice a month, but I like to be very strategic with each platform that I use, and I don't want to just like post the same information on Google Plus that I'm posting everywhere else. So I haven't developed many relationships on there, but the ones that I have usually actually come from other places. So for now, Google Plus is not, for me, a great advantage. But I do know several other people in the blogging sphere, and even photography has really taken off on Google Plus. I don't know what it is, but photographers love Google Plus. So, but I've seen a lot of people engage on there and do just fine on Google Plus. So it's really just dependent on your own personal strategy and how you can really work Google Plus to your advantage.
Yeah. And it seems like, I'm really glad you brought up that word strategy, because it seems like that's important no matter what platform you're using, because you can, you know, have 1,000 friends or likes or whatever, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to translate into something in real life that's going to be beneficial.
Oh, exactly. In fact, I was just talking about that exact subject like all week. Yeah, last week, about having, you know, you could have 1,000 followers or 100,000 followers or whatever, but if you don't have that engagement, then there's nothing there. You're not doing anything. So, you know, I've seen some Facebook pages with 200,000 likes or more, and they're only getting like 2 or 3 likes on their status messages. And it's very, yeah, it's unfortunate they're not transferring, that they're not engaging. So.
Yeah, because it seems like, yeah, you can consider it a numbers game, or you can say this has got to be about quality over quantity if it's going to result in something that's, going to both benefit me and benefit the other person or people.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's a great segue, actually, what you were just saying about engagement, to my final question. What would you consider to be your three best tips for the introvert, specifically, who wants to leverage social media to bring more engagement into their business, more interest in what they're doing?
One of the very first tips that I would give is find someone that you're already familiar with on the internet. It could be a personal friend, a family member, or, whoever. And engage with them as much as you can and get really familiar with the platforms and really get to know how, you're going to engage with, someone who you consider a friend. Because once you consider, the engaging aspects of with a friend or family member, contacting other people, complete strangers will be a little easier because you'll already have that practice and you'll have that, familiarity with, okay, when I first meet someone, I'm going to say, hey, what's up? I really like your blog or whatever. So connect with someone you're familiar with. And then for the second tip, it would be, connect with those strangers, complete strangers, and try to convert them into friends by, sending them a tweet to, say, hey, thank you for the follow. Really appreciate it. Oh, I loved what you said in your last tweet about blah, 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 or whatever, really get to know them and get to know your followers and your fans instead of just, another number. So I think when you really get to know that stranger, through their blog or through their tweets or whatever, you're going to feel less awkward around them because you're already starting to get to know them a little through their online actions. So get to know them and then start the conversation. And then, the third tip would be just find other people like you. What niche are you in? Find other introverts, find other people which you can relate to and can help you in this entire process because it's hard and it can get the best of people. They can be, very overwhelmed very quickly, especially introverts. So it's really important to, find those people that are like-minded like you so that you can feel more comfortable in branching out into other areas.
I love that idea of getting comfortable with whatever the platform is before you start maybe reaching out beyond your immediate circle. And in part of it is kind of learning the rules of engagement, like what's acceptable on that platform and how do people interact with each other, and is it okay to post something that's more personal, or do I want to keep it strictly professional and things like that. It seems like it gives you a little bit of time to kind of see like what the playground looks like.
Exactly. Yeah, you got it. Yep.
And to really use it for being able to connect on a deeper level rather than, it's so tempting that, to send auto tweets or auto direct messages and things like that. But those aren't really going to make the connection that you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you start out your strategy with engaging and with, getting to know people, that's how your entire strategy is going to be. And people are going to notice that. So
I don't know if maybe you are this person based on what you're saying, but I have a colleague named Lynn who always impressed me because before a networking event or before something that she was attending, she would take a look at the attendee list, look up their profiles, look up their sites so that when they walked in the room, she could say, oh, Morgan, it's so nice to meet you. I love your site. I love that you, that post you did yesterday. And she could do that for the majority of the people who walked in the room. And I was just always so enchanted by that.
Is impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
And she's an introvert, and it took some energy, but I think it made her feel more comfortable in talking with them. And it certainly made the other person feel really welcome. And I love that what you've suggested to us here in the course of this conversation really reinforces the importance of taking the time and effort to do that. So any other, just sort of bottom line tips, or, what's one thing you find yourself saying to your clients over and over and over again that if they just got it, they would be able to take things really to the next level and get a lot more results?
That's a good question. The thing that I talk about over and over and over again, that I'm obviously not the first person to say this. There have been people before me that have said this, but it's treat people online as you would treat them offline. Are you going to come up to a person in real life and say, let's say I came up to you and said, "Hey, Beth, I love your podcast." Are you just going to stare at me? Or are you going to say, "Wow, thank you so much"? it's kind of the same concept as when you send someone a tweet, say, "Oh, I love your podcast. That your last guest was so awesome." Are you just going to ignore me and not reply to me? Or, will you send me a reply back and just say, "Hey, thanks so much. Really appreciate it." So it's treating people online as you would treat them offline, just as normal human beings.
Great point. Great point. Yeah, to just, we want to be acknowledged. We want to be recognized. And what I'm trying to learn is that sometimes it's just a simple thing. Like, all I need to do is say thank you. I don't need to necessarily go into any big detail or a long explanation of something share some sort of story. I can just simply appreciate the person reaching out to me. And if I want to do more, I can do that. But I also, just like you would in real life, you say thank you and I really appreciate it. And that's probably, all you need to do at the moment. But the important thing that I'm hearing you say is don't, just as in real life, you wouldn't just say, look at them and then turn around and walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a final question that I ask all of my podcast guests. And this is, if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, and you only had room in your suitcase for 3 books, and these are like regular books, no Kindles or anything, what 3 would you take with you and why?
Okay, this is a good question. I would take The Night Before Christmas, because my dad and I would always sit down and read that book the eve of Christmas, so that's really special to me. I keep that with me always. And I would take the book Kite Runner, because it was just an amazing book, and I could read that book over and over again. It has so many good, suggestions and ideas, and it has just a lot of, great human, it's just like a real story. It's a great story. And then I would also take The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur by Mike Michalowicz. He is so funny. He's the funniest entrepreneur that I've ever had the pleasure of talking to and reading his blog and stuff. And his book is just as funny, and it's just as clever, and gives really great advice. So those would be the 3 that I would choose.
Those would keep you, you'd have both the reading for pleasure and reading for sort of personal or professional development kinds of things. And I noticed he's got a new book out. I think it's called The Pumpkin Patch or The Pumpkin Something.
I guess not.
Oh, well, what I thought was really interesting, and I guess this is another example of somebody leveraging online connections for in real life benefit. He was offering, I think, a free webinar or something that it was only free if you went onto Amazon or wherever and bought 10 copies of the new book. So if you bought 10 copies of the new book, I would assume you get some sort of code or something so that you can register for this webinar that was supposed to be, information packed. And I thought that was a really interesting way of both getting the word out about his book, boosting the sales, and you're not going to obviously keep 10 books, you're going to either give them away, you're probably going to give them away, you know, to clients or when you speak. And I thought, wow, that's really clever. So I concur. He's a clever dude. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I had the Toilet Paper Entrepreneur book in my backpack once, and somebody was going through my backpacks to look for something, and they, you know, on the cover of the book is just like toilet paper, right? And so they pull it out, and they're like, really? And I'm like, well, it's a good book. Just because it's toilet paper doesn't mean it's a, you know, naughty book or whatever. Like, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's such a clever analogy. I mean, if I'm interpreting right, it's really about like how can you be resourceful when resources are low. You know, you get in a stall with no toilet paper. What do you do? So
exactly.
That's the life of the entrepreneur. You're often kind of short on resources, and so how creative can you get? Well, you've given us some really good ways to be creative online and to be creative about how we're reaching out to people and making those connections. And I really appreciate what you have reinforced and reminded us of and given us insights into your own experience about moving from online to in real life. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insights.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
I really appreciate Morgan's reminders about how social media can be a powerful catalyst for forming offline relationships. It's critical that you have a strategy for where you spend your time and what you want to accomplish. I invite you to carve out an hour or two in the next week to do an informal evaluation of your social media strategy. Where have you developed the strongest connections? Which platform are you underutilizing? Which one are you spending too much time on? What's your intention with each platform? What are you wanting to accomplish? Are your profiles, pictures, and postings up to date? Are you having conversations or simply posting things and then signing off? Think about what's going to be the best use of your time and energy and which social media platforms will move you closer to your goals. Then focus your efforts there and let go of the rest. Thanks for listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. You can learn more about my coaching, speaking, and training services at www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. My professional services are designed for entrepreneurs, corporations and organizations, and individuals who want to focus on their personal development. If there's any way I can support you in your journey, I would love to hear from you. So have a wonderful week. Remember to join us on Facebook about the May 2-year anniversary celebrations. And I look forward to seeing you next time.